Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
This interview is sponsored by a new and standout destination in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by longtime healthcare professionals Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora blends advanced technology with personalized care to help you feel your best. Whether it's whole body cryotherapy to reduce inflammation, an infrared sauna to detox and relax, LED light therapy to recharge at the cellular level, or assisted stretching to improve mobility, Alora has something for everybody. Their mission to provide science-backed wellness in a calm, welcoming space. Whether you're recovering from a tough workout, managing stress, or just investing in your long-term health, Alora is your modern approach to feeling better mind, body, and soul. Stop by 821 C Highway 12 right across from Kroger or explore more at aloramodernwellness.com. Let's talk about Maroon versus Maroon. Let's talk Mississippi State and Texas A&M with David Nuno from Texags Radio. He's been on this a few times. I've been on his program a few times. So I thought it was... 10 weeks in, I was like, this is the year. They're going to break through. This is the year for Texas A&M. And, obviously we know how the season ended. What's the mood in College Station going into this year? Is it hopeful that this is the year, or is there some concern that it's just going to be another year where they feel like they've underachieved at the end?
Well, I'll say that in 2020, we felt like it should have been the year because they were 9-1, right? And that I think that potentially that year changes the way we look at Jimbo Fisher's run at A&M, right?
Right.
9-1, top five finish, but they didn't get into the playoffs, and I think they should have gotten into the playoffs. But moving on from that, I think, unfortunately, people allow the last couple of regimes at A&M to kind of color the way we look at this football team.
Mm-hmm.
But there's optimism for sure, right? Everybody sees that Coach Elko is recruiting at an extremely high level. Everybody sees how close they were last year, literally a play or two away from being at the SEC championship game. You beat Auburn, which you should have, without your best running back in Le'Veon Moss, your best offensive player, with multiple quarterbacks over the last few years. Like, you were very close. I don't know what this season looks like, Brian, because I think they can be pretty special, but when you look at that schedule, going to Baton Rouge, which A&M has not won since 1994, going to Notre Dame, which is going to be hard. They're not the same Notre Dame team as last year, but they're still a top five, top 10 team, right? And going to Austin. I don't think Texas is as good as they were last year. That doesn't mean they aren't a playoff team. That's not a slight at Arch. It's not a slight at Sark. Like, I don't know if they're as good as they were last year because they're, we're in a different era of college football where, 14 guys go to the NFL, 14 guys are waiting. I think they have 14 guys waiting too. They're just unproven in my eyes. I don't follow them close enough, just like Georgia's got guys, but Georgia's at least done it a little bit longer. So, long way of saying there's optimism, but there's also like, can we win on the road? Because we haven't done that against top teams in a long time.
One of the things that impressed me about Elko last season was, I remember talking to you preseason about Connor Wigman, and I was just like, I like this kid a lot. I think he's got a lot of talent. And then when they made the move to Marcel Reed, that's a different kind of quarterback. And yet it was pretty seamless, and he was successful right away. And now he's got the full season at the controls. How much of a step can Marcel Reed take forward this year?
Well, let me ask you this. What are your opinions of DJ Lagway?
I'm a big fan, but I know where you're going with this, but I'm a big fan of Lagway. I'll put it that way.
I am too.
I'm all SEC.
I'm a huge fan of Lagway. I'm going to just talk statistics here, okay? Because I look at Lagway and I see just a mammoth of a human being that's got, I understand why he's a five-star and why people talk about him so highly. But if you look at Marcel Reed's stats and you look at DJ Lagway's stats, they're pretty similar. The difference is winning games in November as opposed to losing games in November. Okay. Lagway won games in November. They were a great story at the end of the football season. A&M lost games in November. Now, did they lose games because of Marcel Reed? Marcel Reed put them in position to win the Auburn game. The defense let them down in the last minute of the game and also in overtime. Marcel Reed put A&M in position to win the USC game with a couple of minutes left. The defense let them down. USC came around and won. Marcel Reed struggled against Texas. I don't know what quarterback didn't struggle against Texas, right? So what I'm saying to you is the perception of Marcel Reed is slightly slanted because of the way the defense performed at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I think Marcel Reed's a really nice quarterback. He's got to prove that he can throw down the field more often and see the open receivers, which, by the way, most young quarterbacks have to learn how to do that. right? It is, especially when they weren't expecting. They thought they were the understudy, right? So I think Marcel can take a step. But the beauty of it is I don't think A&M's season depends on Marcel Reed being a top five quarterback. Right. Now, he's got to be a top eight quarterback in the SEC, in my opinion. But when you've got a potentially groundbreaking rushing attack with Le'Veon Moss, who was excellent last year, 1A or 1B while healthy in the SEC, Reuben Owens finally healthy, Amari Daniels, who's the most forgotten guy who's put up big numbers, you know, the last few years for Texas A&M as the third running back. When you've got a veteran offensive line, when you now have some wide receivers that can get separation, I don't think Marcel has to take a huge step. I need him to take a step, but if the rest of the group does what I think they're capable of, it won't be all on Marcel's shoulders. What I ask for is, can he develop throwing the ball down the field, which I think he can, and can he stay healthy? Because A&M hasn't had a healthy quarterback in forever.
I don't know if it's the best receiving group in the SEC, but if you ask me to say who's the most explosive, most big play potential, I might go with Texas A&M. Concepcion was really good these past couple years at NC State. I love Terry Bussey. I think he's a really good player. And then, obviously, I saw Mario Craver firsthand. That's a kid that if he keeps his head on straight, the sky's the limit for him. Is this going to be a big play offense, in your opinion?
That's the hope. That is the hope. Look, last year's wide receiver group, they were nice, okay? I don't think that they were explosive by any stretch. Noah Thomas now at Georgia, A&M would benefit greatly with Noah Thomas still being at A&M because he's a big threat. But I wouldn't say separation was his thing, right? And when you've got legs like Marcel that's going to keep hopefully defenses honest, and you got a guy like Casey Concepcion who can get separation, you got a guy like Mario Craver who can get separation, you got a guy like Terry Bussey who was 17 last year, came into the season thinking he was going to play defensive back and then transitioned early because of necessity to play wide receiver.
I thought only Ryan Williams was 17 last year. Right? For 17-year-old, who told me?
Yeah, but he I think he became 18 during the season. But my point was, he had to learn, not that he had to learn it because he was a multifaceted player in high school, but he thought he was going to be one position and then he was a different position, right? So you got that. And, you know, he was a young player. And then you also have like all the hiccups at quarterback. So, yeah, I think they can be a big play team. But knowing Coach Elko being a defensive-minded head coach, they're going to be a ball control offense that can take the top off from time to time. And I think Craver's going to benefit greatly from that.
Defensively, where's your concern with this team?
There's a lot of concern, all right, and I'll take it. But I think they're going to be improved from last year, which is weird to say when you lose three day one, day two guys on the defensive line, right? But that defensive line at the end of the year did not produce sacks. Now, they were able to get to the backfield. That defense last year had a hard time finishing plays, all right? They would play really well, and they'd give up a huge play. That can't happen this year. So my concern are a couple places. The secondary, Will Lee was, you know, they call him the blanket. He was great. Mm-hmm. But the opposite side, there were some questions, right? Des Ricks has to grow, and I think he will grow. Tyreek Chappelle, the nickel last year, was injured after, what, week three? And he is a huge part of the defense. Huge. Started as a freshman, so, you know, he's a senior. So that tells you a lot about Tyreek Chappelle. So he's coming back. You pick up Julian Humphreys from Georgia, who started a lot of games for Georgia, started 10 last year. Like, I think the secondary should be improved. Dalton Brooks seems to be a beast, but they got to prove it to me. Linebackers, they're not flashy. They're steady. Torian York gets a lot of press clippings as he deserves it. And I think Scooby Williams last year was really good, but played injured all season long. I think the linebackers are fine. There is question of defensive line, no doubt about it. Cassius Howell flashed a lot last year. Albert Regis was steady and consistent on the defensive line. We got to see Rylan Kennedy grow up. We got to see DJ Hicks grow up. There's some others that have to grow up. There's nice transfers that they brought in. So if I were to say what my concern is finishing plays and how does that defensive line grow with new faces? And does the secondary, do they learn how to limit the big plays? Because that was a big problem last year.
You know, we talk about new faces, it's almost exclusively now with the transfer portal. But you mentioned the elite recruiting that Mike Elko has been putting together. Who's a freshman who can make an impact for Texas A&M this year?
I'll give you a couple of names, but one for sure is going to be Marco Jones. I think Marco Jones is going to surprise a lot of folks. But I don't think he's a defensive end. He doesn't need to be that guy day one, right? Like, but he's a guy that I think we can absolutely, what do you have, 6 sacks in the spring game? Beast could play baseball at A&M if he wanted to. That's a possibility, by the way. I think Marco Jones is a name that a lot of people are going to talk about, but he doesn't have to be the guy right away. He can grow into that role, but he looks like a man-child as a freshman. The other one is, I'm going to say Jerome Miles, the wide receiver from Utah, who is just another man-child, was not here in the spring, so it may take him a little bit longer. He was injured his last year coming from the state of Utah. I think he's a big-bodied receiver in the Noah Thomas mold that they desperately need, and he's a guy that you're going to see some ball thrown his way. It's going to take him, just like all freshmen, a little time to get acclimated. Don't put too much stock, like last year, Coach Elko told us with Terry Bussey, like, look, he's a kid. He's 17, 18 years old. Let him develop. So I'm going to say the same thing about those two guys, but you're going to feel their impact for sure.
This is the stretch for Texas A&M, September 27th through October 25th. Auburn, Mississippi State, Florida at home, and then at Arkansas, at LSU. What's A&M's record in those five games?
4-1 would be ideal, right?
If that's the case, you're probably the one is the last one there, right? At LSU?
Yeah. But I'm not predicting that. I'm saying that is – so read those games again to me. There you've got
– Auburn, Mississippi State, Florida, at Arkansas, at LSU. That's a heck of a month.
Yeah, so this is where I'm scared of Arkansas, even though I think Arkansas is going to be bad. Yeah, I'm scared of them because A&M has not played on the road at Arkansas since, what, 2012, 2011, right? So it's been forever, right?
Yeah.
That series is always – A&M has dominated, but it's wacky, right? So you got Arkansas. Auburn, I think you're better than Auburn. You were better than Auburn last year and you lost, right? So I think you're better than Auburn. Florida, you beat them in Marcel's first start ever, but Florida's going to be better. But you get them at Kyle Field. Kyle Field's got to matter for something, right? And it has. You could say that, what does Kyle Field mean if you lost to Texas by 10 and didn't score an offensive touchdown? If you were to watch that game could have been a blowout. But A&M's defense, which struggled all season long, made plays when they had to. So Kyle Field does matter. So I think A&M will be favored in all those games but LSU. I think they'll be favored against Florida.
Yeah, I think so.
And I think they'll be favored against Mississippi State. I kid. But they should. They should be favored in these games.
You're being serious. I was like, you think?
I kid, but with a lot of respect. That's you know how much A&M has struggled going to Mississippi State, much less the 21 game where Mississippi State came here and took care of business on a year that I thought A&M could have been better than 8-4. Mm-hmm. That's the big 41-38 year where they beat Alabama at Kyle Field after losing to Mississippi State the week prior, by the way. So I say all that to you in that I could see 4-1, but look how many SEC games come down to one or two plays. If you start fixing mistakes, 4-1 is likely. And by the way, I think LSU is going to be pretty good, but they got some questions to answer as well.
Yeah, agreed. All right, when you had me on your program at SEC Media Days, you asked me about Mario Craver, so I'm going to return the favor here. I know he didn't play much at Texas A&M, but what is State getting in Malik Sylla?
I think, you know what, he's a guy who could have played here, right? I love Malik Sylla's game. It just, again, when you're playing with that many dudes that are NFL-bound, you might be NFL-bound yourself, but there's a waiting. And in today's college football, you don't have to wait, right? And he waited. He was a good guy for a couple years here at A&M, right? He was a nice player. I think he's going to make some plays, and I don't know the rest of the defense, but he's going to be a name that you guys are talking about on your show quite often, Ryan. I'm telling you, he's going to make some plays for you. Nice young man. I wish he would have stayed. He was a very nice player.
We'll see what it brings. Mississippi State, Texas A&M on October the 4th, starting off the month of October. I want to pass an idea along. I've thought this for a long time. I want you to get to your friends at A&M. I'll get to my people at State. I say this game needs to have some stakes to it. The winner the next year gets to wear maroon, and the loser has to wear all white. I think that should be home or away. The loser of this game has to wear all white the next season.
I think that's a great idea. I think I'm all in.
All right. You run it up your flagpole, I'll run it up mine, and
I will tell you though, I don't remember what State looks like in their icy whites, but I know A&M looks pretty stinking cool.
State's icy whites are very good. We've also talked about having like a dog bowl, like between, you know, Reveille and Bully.
Yeah.
Just like a dog bowl trophy. I don't know, something between these two schools. We need something.
I'm all in for that. Yeah. So let's go icy whites. So the icy whites are the loser?
I mean, I think the winner should be able to claim maroon for the year.
I got it for you. How about this? Okay. Winner picks.
I don't mind that. I don't mind that. So we'll see how it goes. David Nuno, Texas Radio, always a pleasure, man. I'll talk to you again during the season.
I appreciate you, Brian. Take care, buddy.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.